On October the 30th, 1935, at Wright Airfield in Dayton, Ohio, the U.S. Army Air Corps held a flight competition for airplane manufacturers who were vying to build the next generation long-range bomber. And it really wasn't supposed to be much of a competition. In the early evaluations, the Boeing Corporation's gleaming aluminum alloy Model 299 had trounced the designs of Martin and Douglas. Boeing's plane could carry 5 times as many bombs as the Army had specified that they wanted. It could fly faster than previous bombers and almost twice as far. The flight competition was regarded as a mere formality. Rumor had it that the Army planned to order at least 65 of the plane that had been come to be known as the Flying Fortress. The Model 299 test plane taxied onto the runway. It was sleek and impressive, with a 103-foot wingspan and 4 engines jutting out from under the wings rather than the regular 2. The plane roared down the tarmac. It lifted off smoothly and climbed sharply to 300 feet. And then it stalled. And it turned on one wing. And it crashed in a fiery explosion. 2 of the 5 crew members perished. An investigation revealed that nothing mechanical had gone wrong. The crash was due to pilot error. The pilot, Major Hill, was the Army Air Corps' chief of flight testing, and he had been preoccupied with the many procedures that were required to fly this complex new plane, and he'd forgotten to release the rudder and the elevator controls. The Flying Fortress was deemed too much of an airplane for one man to fly, and the Army Air Corps declared Douglas's smaller design the winner. And in the process, Boeing nearly went bankrupt. But a few guys in that Army Air Corps believed in that Flying Fortress. They believed it was a better plane. And so a group of test pilots got together and they started thinking about, what can we do? They could have required the Model 299 pilots to undergo more training, but it was hard to imagine having more training and expertise than the U.S. Army Air Corps' chief of flight testing. And instead, they came up with an ingeniously simple approach. They created a pilot's checklist with step-by-step checks for takeoff, flight, landing, and taxiing. And with the checklist in hand, the pilots went on to fly the Model 299 a total of 1.8 million miles without accident. The Army renamed it the B-17, and ultimately they ordered 13,000 of them. And because the flying behemoth was now possible, the Army gained a decisive air advantage in World War II. When I Googled military checklist this week, there were a plethora available. I mean, you wouldn't even believe how many Army checklists there are. When we are faced with complexity in life, checklists are essential. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul provides a checklist. Everything we need to stand firm when we are faced with the complexities of life. Paul writes, "Put on the whole, full armor of God." Now, the checklist might seem curious to us today, but they would have heard the allusions to Isaiah's descriptions of the armor that God wears and realized that we are asked to put on the very same armor that God wears. In the first century when Paul was writing, the pervasive military strength of the Roman Empire would have made their descriptions of armor familiar to Christians in Ephesus. They knew what Paul was talking about. And first on the checklist was the belt of truth. Well, the belt of truth was important because men wore long robes. And if you didn't go into battle first by pulling up your robe and getting your belt pulled around it so that you didn't have it down around your feet, you would trip. The belt of truth keeps us from tripping over lies. Second is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protected the vital organs, and a weak place would let a sword penetrate. Doing God's will is our basic protection. And our feet are fitted with the good news of peace. And we have a few soldiers in here. You can ask them at potluck about the importance of shoes. But all good foot soldiers will tell you that shoes must fit when you go into battle. If they pinch, if they fit improperly, they weigh you down, cause blisters, or they let moisture in, it can make all the difference. The shoes that allow us to move with ease are sewn with the good news of peace. And the fourth component on the checklist of God's armor is the shield of faith. The image that the Ephesians would have had in their minds may not be the one that we think of, because we usually think of a medieval shield. But Roman shields were about 2.5 feet wide and about 4 feet tall. And what they would do, they would go into battle sort of like we think of seeing the British going into battle in the Revolution, all lined up together, right? One big line. But what they would do is they would get shoulder to shoulder, and they would be in battle with this shield, and their shields would overlap. So that would provide a 4 foot tall protection for them in front of them. And they would take those shields that were made out of leather, and they would soak them for a week or so before they went into battle, so that the best weapon that the enemy would have would be arrows that were on fire. Well, if you have a nice shield that's wet, that arrow with fire is going to be extinguished. So we, as the church, stand shoulder to shoulder and face our adversaries with the shield of faith, overlapping and protecting one another. And on our heads, we wear the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the most vulnerable and vital part of all. Our most basic protection is our salvation, giving us forgiveness for our sinfulness and strength to stand up to our temptations. And finally, we're issued with the last component in God's armor, the only weapon that we have to defend ourselves against the attacks of the world, the Word of God. Here, receive your standard issue armor, Paul says to them. Truth encircling your very core and keeping you from tripping over lies. Doing God's will as a breastplate, protecting your vital organs. Traveling in peace. Marching shoulder to shoulder with your faith held in front of you. Protected from temptation by your salvation, and armed with God's word. Receive your standard issue armor, says Paul, and pray. Pray with intensity, without ceasing, for yourselves and for others. The whole armor of God is standard issue for every Christian. And we are challenged to go down the checklist and ensure that we have everything we need. New Testament scholar Carl Holliday writes, "It may be that some find the militaristic images used in this passage unsuitable to the message of the gospel. But they are just that, images. What should be noticed is that the weapons of warfare depicted here are those things that bring about justice and peace. Christians are challenged by these words to be vigilant in their struggle to bring about justice and peace." Friends, God has provided us with the armor we need to wear to bring God's kingdom to fruition. God's vision for humanity can only be achieved when we battle the forces that threaten it and wear our standard issue armor of God. God's kingdom is under attack in the lies and the falsehoods that are so prevalent today in our society. God's kingdom is under attack when people are treated unjustly. God's kingdom is under attack when we approach in anger rather than in peace. God's kingdom is under attack when our faith doesn't motivate us to stand shoulder to shoulder and protect one another. God's kingdom is under attack when we give in to temptation, when we forget God's word, when we believe we can do it on our own rather than turning to God in prayer. God's kingdom is under attack. And it is a lot easier to fly a simpler plane. But the flying fortress provides a distinct and decisive advantage. And it is a lot simpler to go through life reacting out of our instincts rather than referring to our checklist and putting on God's armor. But wearing the belt of truth and the breastplate of God's will, the shoes of peace, lining up together with shields of faith in our helmets of salvation, with God's word, praying, provides us with a distinct and decisive advantage. God's kingdom is under attack. Check your checklist and head into battle. Amen.